So the innocent victim was walking along the high street when the pollster asked, "Do you believe in God?" "Yes," replied the interviewee. "Do you believe in the majestic, powerful creator of the universe who offers eternal life and can change the course of events on earth?" continued the questioner. "No, just the ordinary one," came the reply. What is God like? What is the church like? What are Christians like? The answer is to be found in Jesus. Paul seeks to answer these questions for the church, saying, "Well, let's have a look what you're singing in your church Sunday by Sunday." And he takes a well-loved hymn in the church of Colossae and perhaps wonders if they've actually stopped to listen to the words. We would probably do well to listen more carefully to the words that we sing. Paul is calling the church to remember well-known truths, just as we have done in our hymns. "Thou whose almighty word chaos and darkness heard and took their flight." The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Jesus is the source of the universe. He is the creator. Jesus is the giver of life. He sustains and gives power to the church through his Spirit. These are the truths by which we live. What is God like? Well, we see the nature of God in Jesus. He is compassionate. He is self-giving love. He has made a world with freedom of choice. He accepts us. He gives us freedom, which is a pretty risky thing to do, and demonstrates his love for us and for the world when dealing with the results of the freedom that he gives. The whole created order in time and space owes its existence to Christ. "In the beginning was the Word," says the Apostle. Or as Paul says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." He is its true origin. He sustains its existence. Without him, we would have no ultimate meaning. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Modern cosmologists are trying to understand the origin and the meaning of the universe. Scientists like Stephen Hawking, confined to his wheelchair with motor neuron disease, is constantly seeking to find an answer to the origin of the universe. And these scientists are discovering a universe with purpose and meaning. As Paul Davies, a leading voice in this field, writes in his book, The Mind of God, "What is man that we might be party to such a privilege? I cannot believe that our existence in this universe is a mere quirk of fate, an accident of history, an incidental blip in the great cosmic drama. Our involvement is too intimate. We are truly meant to be here." But for this non-Christian scientist, while the apparent design of the universe is a fact, he says belief in a designer God is a matter of personal taste. We only understand the world and the universe in Jesus, because in him, it all fits into place. Only in Jesus, I believe, does the universe actually make sense. Today there's an increasing concern for the world in which we live, be it the extremes of weather seen as a result of global climate change, which itself is caused by human pollution, or whether it's broken relationships. The fall, our self-centered rebellion against God, recorded in Genesis 3, has led to broken relationships with God, with God's world, and with each other. Broken relationships have led to an inability to care for the world, also an inability to care for each other. But in Jesus, God becomes truly human. In Jesus, he shares our life and the life of the world. Jesus' miracles of healing and feeding and stilling the wind and the waves can be seen as restoring the goodness of creation, as God made it. And God saw that it was good. It was very good, says God. But it's been corrupted, the goodness, by the distortion of human rebellion and sin, our action against what God has planned. And so it's in the human heart that the issues of the environment need to be tackled. All creation groans because we're not what we should be. As Paul writes to the church at Rome, all of creation waits patiently for the children of God to discover what they should be like. And the destruction of family life and the destruction of individuals through drug abuse and knife crime is as crucial in our world, and maybe closer to us, than global warming. God's purpose is for us to know our value, to know our worth, to know our dignity, to know that we're loved and accepted, and to know that the Creator of the universe has a direction in mind for each of our lives. And of course we see this in the ministry of Jesus. We see it in his encounters with people like Zacchaeus or the woman accused of adultery. Because here we see love. Here we see acceptance and forgiveness and value. Zacchaeus hiding himself away, a collaborator, not wanting to face people. And yet in Jesus, he finds acceptance. He finds that he is valued. Our challenge is to declare God's loving purpose in creation and God's loving purpose for human lives. And that his purpose is love. And it is for our good. But what's the church like? Well, the church should be like Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Christ is the head of the church, God's new humanity, with all the negative, destructive characteristics of human rebellion removed. He's the firstborn from the dead. In the resurrection, he's the author of life and the giver of new life through his Spirit. And so we share the risen life of Christ. We are a new creation, and we have the power of the resurrection available to us, flowing in us and through us. Christ is our head. We must never allow earthly leaders to usurp the place of Christ. Christ is God incarnate, sharing our humanity. He's God with us. The fullness of God is in Christ, and he is God for us. Nothing and nobody is outside of the accepting, forgiving, reconciling love of God in Christ. That's fantastic. So, the church is like that? Well, no. Not quite. In fact, the whole of creation is groaning in its wait for the church to become like Christ. So here's our goal. To be Christ to a world in need. To be God's alternative, love and forgiveness, in a world of hatred and revenge. The need for reconciliation between God and his creation implies an existing state of disharmony, of strife. Well, you and I don't need any convincing of that, do we? The world knows no separate peace. Hostility and acts of evil mark the lives of many. Our call is to be gospel people, to be truth tellers and peacemakers. So how do we do that? Well, we can look at Christians working in the Middle East, or I can think of Protestant friends of mine who continue to work for reconciliation and understanding in Northern Ireland. And these are risky and dangerous actions, often being criticized and misunderstood. But it is being Christ in the midst of a broken world. Christ is the giver of new life in his Spirit. He's the creator and the redeemer. He's the source of the church's life. He brings peace through the cross. And through Christ, our life is lived in the power of his resurrection. So in Christ, there's a new creation. But of course, as ever in the New Testament, There is a now and a not yet. There's the first fruits of the Spirit, which we celebrate at Pentecost, and which we see amongst our own fellowship here as people give their lives and work out the mission of Christ here. But still creation groans. It's still waiting for humanity to discover its perfection in Christ. Because to believe in Christ in this world is to believe against reality. Yes, we believe that Christ is risen, but we live in a world of suffering and pain and destruction. But we have hope. We have hope because we see salvation appearing for the whole of creation. But of course it's only appearing in the outline. We see those little windows of light. But this can't be a cheap hope either. Human beings like us have to act in hope. And the Spirit gives us the possibility to be what we are to become, the children of God. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So, what are we like? What are Christians like? Well, we should be like Jesus. And this lovely little hymn celebrates the Church of the New Testament, its life and its witness and its experience. These first Christians took great delight in testifying to the change that had taken place in them. We have a before and an after story, much like many of the adverts for the latest slimming formula, which is so important after Christmas, or for those things that get rid of the lines and creases in our skin, although that's probably going to die a death as we clean up the plastic in the oceans. But you can see the difference that Jesus makes in somebody's life. I remember George. George was married to one of our church members, and he was, when he turned up, when you saw him, he was a surly army corporal on duty in Northern Ireland. And his wife and his children were regular in the congregation, but George didn't have much time for church. And then one Easter, George was home on leave, and he accompanied the family to church. And we all said, "George, you're different." He was bright, he was cheerful, he was content. And he told us that how, following the death of one of his colleagues in Northern Ireland, he had found Christ through the words that the chaplain brought. The truth of reconciliation with God and new life in Christ is what their hymn spoke about. And it was no unproven theory. It was there in their lives. We always give thanks to God our Father and the Lord Jesus when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all his people. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you. Paul points out the before and after story. Before they were hostile and antagonistic to God, but afterwards they were rescued, they were friends of God, a new transformed person. And so if you continue in your faith established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard, that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is how you should go on, he says. Living in the truth of the gospel. This living, life-changing, powerful gospel that they have experienced for themselves. And of course, you and I have our stories to tell too. This is how we experience life as Christ's disciples. What is God like? Like Jesus. What is the church like? Like Jesus, demonstrating the fullness of God, the recreative and redemptive power of the Spirit, the reconciling, sacrificial love of God. What are Christians like? What are we like? Like Jesus, testifying to the transformation, the power, the love, the light and truth that we have received and know through the Spirit. Just before Christmas, on the One Show, Friday the 22nd of December, Matt and Alex were outside All Souls in Langham Place, right next to the BBC headquarters. And there they asked the Reverend Hugh Palmer to close the show with a thought for Christmas and the New Year. And this is what Hugh Palmer said. He said there was a mum sitting in a hospital bed by her six-year-old son who was dying. The chaplain came along and placed his hand on her shoulder and said, "I know how you feel." The mother was up out of her seat in an instant, her eyes blazing, and she said, "That's my son dying there. How dare you say that you know how I feel?" He holds his hands up and quietly says to her, "Last year, my eight-year-old boy died in this hospital. I do know how you feel." And Hugh Palmer said, "Christmas is the reminder that the God and Father of Jesus also knows. He has been there. He gave his one and only Son at Christmas and Easter, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then Hugh Palmer said, "That's the hand I want on my shoulder in 2018. Only in Christ do we understand creation, the world, and our place in the frame of the universe. Only in Christ does the church understand its reason for existence and its power to serve.